making a great film or series,
right.
I feel like the maker has to put themselves into it, or at least their cultural, their background into it, because it got better once the like his cultural things started getting added into there. Because at first it was just an action movie, it was just a revenge movie, and there's so many of those. But once his the things that made that make him him, he put him parts of himself in there, or not just not himself, but his culture in there. That's when it became awesome.
Be doing that to me all the time. Yeah, you did. That's funny, Whitney.
Yeah, now we actually are.
Hey, hey, hey. What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Triple F Queen Bola in the his house.
No tag.
Her house.
Her house.
Sorry. Go ahead. Yes, her house because it's Whitney's house.
Oh, is that what his house? I thought it was just like a, like, almost like.
I actually don't know. I just wanted to make sure I said her house because we girls. And it is your house, and I think your pronouns are her, right?
Yes.
Okay, so just because I don't want nobody coming for me. So I was like, let's change it to. I always just thought when he said in his, it could just be hizzy. So like those hizzy, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I was just like, nah, I'm changing it anyway because it's the her house.
Her story.
Yes, and it's.
Instead of his story.
I think I cut you off. So can you say your name again for me, Whitney?
Oh, I didn't say it? Well, I'm not sure. Oh, okay, what's up, y'all? It's No Tagline Wit here.
Yes, and we are Blurred Talk with Bola and Whitney. Hey, hey, hey. West Side? I don't know. I don't know nothing about that. I gotta stop. We're not the West. Sorry.
No, we on the East.
Chester? I don't know.
What?
I was trying, girl. I don't know what I was doing. I was doing.
Her game is thrown off because, you know, I'm starting the record button in media res. So she doesn't know. I try to, like, be super stealth with it. And she thought we started. She was starting. So she's like, hey, what's up, you guys? I'm like, yeah, we haven't started yet.
Yeah, I was trying to get ahead of her, y'all, so she won't catch me. And then she faked me out again, like, in the opposite way. Like, y'all, save me. You know what I mean?
That was funny.
It was funny because I was like, dang. The moment where I'm like, I got you. And then you're like, nah, I ain't press record yet. Anyway, you guys. So today's episode, we are going to be reviewing the revenge action film called Monkey Man. I wish it had that nice little, you know, I don't know where that came from, but it just seems to fit.
It does. It feels like one of those.
Yes. And so we're going to have our main segments blurred up, but I also have a Topics in Blackness segment for us today that we going to talk about. It's, y'all, this main topic, y'all have been hearing about it all over the place. I don't know if Whitney knows about it.
I feel like I might know what it's about.
Okay, good. All right. But we're going to do Blurred Out first. So, Blurred Out. Bum, bum, Blurred Out. Bum, 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 Blurred Out. Bum, bum, Blurred Out. Bum, bum, bum. This Blurred Out is brought to you by the letter P. Pastor Kavassian. I have no idea why I brought that up.
I
like saying that.
Are we moving directly into Topics of Blackness to what I thought it was going to be? But I was like, that's not what he's going by anyway.
I need to find things where I'm going to do that. Just I'm leaving spaces for future sponsors, hopefully. Maybe that's what it is. And I just put a letter in there so that next time you can just go back and edit, be like, this was the... I know, right? Anyway, I just like saying it because of like Sesame Street and all that stuff back in the day. Today's Blurred Out was brought to you by the This is stupid. I need to stop. All right. Okay, so I'm blurting out. You don't mind if I go first, Whitney? All right, cool, because I am. All right. So I am blurting out about a couple things. The first thing I'm talking about is this awesome, awesome Korean drama that I started with my mom and my sister. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix, and it stars one of the men on my list that's ever cute, ever sexy, Kim Soo-yeon, everybody. Mm-hmm. He's fine. If you look up his face, you would just be like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you've watched anything with him in it.
I haven't watched a Korean movie or TV show in forever.
Yeah, because you didn't watch Alchemy of Soul.
He's
not on that, so it's okay. He's not in that one. That's a different sexy. He's on the list, but he's newer. But Kim Soo-hyun has been on the list for a long time. Anyway, but it stars him and a girl named Kim Ji-won. And it's called Queen of Tears. And I've been missing Korean dramas. I haven't watched like a nice good, like, because most Korean dramas are either like really romantic, you know, or they're revenge-y, or they're historical period pieces, you know. Mm-hmm. So when they have special ones where there's a little bit of whimsy in there or like a magical realism, I like Alchemy of Soul. That's why I thought it was interesting for us to review. Or Itaewon Class, which is like a revenge, a comeuppance story. Anyway, but there's always like a lot about power struggle dynamics in Korea because there's so much. They're very high. This is going to be really nerdy, but like on Hofstede's cultural dimensions, ranking is like one of them, right? And it's like social distancing, social ranking, like is a big thing in their country about status and class and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's so big. So it's, you're constantly seeing the class battles and stuff in Korean shows. And so, of course, this one has the same thing. The premise is basically there's a couple. The guy married rich, but he didn't know she was an heiress to
empire.
Because it's really, that's how they are. They call them little heirs. Chaebols means heirs because all these rich conglomerates and stuff, they stay in the family. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't know. He thought she was, like, because a lot of the time the younger ones, to protect them, they would, like, be anonymous, but they'll go in and, like, workplaces and do things, and nobody knows. If they're not exposed already, nobody knows, like, oh, that's the intern. Unless that person just doesn't know, oh, that's the chaebol of Samsung or something. Like, they might not know that's what she looks like. But so he just met this chick, and she was at work. She was an intern. And he was there working as well, and he just, like, yeah, fell in love with her. But he didn't know she was the daughter of the main people. So they just kind of fell in love, and then he ended up marrying her and stuff. But then trouble is afoot. Their, like, marriage is dissolving. And then all these issues happening. And, you know, he works for the company. He's not happy. So you're seeing it's at its core, it's a drama, of course. But it's really nice. I like seeing the family dynamic. There's a health issue. There's all these things. I just like how it's been playing out. And it's not done because it's going on currently in Korea, South Korea right now. But it'll be done by the end of April. But me and my family, we just was like, you know what? This works because we don't need to be. The episodes are kind of long. Since they only give you like 16, they're like an hour and a half. And you're just like, this is a lot of episode. You know what I mean? For one episode. It's like a mini movie. So I was like, you know what? This works. So I wait till Saturday and Sunday now to watch the rest. But I watched the first 8 episodes that are on Netflix right now. And the show is Awesome Sauce.
What's it called again?
It's called Queen of Tears. And Kim Soo-hyun is like the highest paid actor in South Korea right now. He makes so much money. Everything he does is like golden. Everything he does, every show, every movie that he does is instantly famous, popular. He's just awesome. If you look at him, oh God, he's so beautiful. I love you. And he's unmarried, anywhere the same age. I'm like, come and find me. You're learning English now. Let's go. Let's go. You know?
Come see about
we. my second thing I'm blurting out about is, okay, so you guys know I love comedy shows. And I actually went with a friend to a comedy show last night. And it was like a local Virginia, like Chesterfield people area. It was like not a lot of people came, but we had tickets and everything, but it was too nice. I went all the way down to Chester. There's Chesterfield, but then there's Chester. You know, you gotta say it like that. Colonial Heights, Chester. That's where I was, and I was like, oh, this place is far from me, but I was like, I'm going. And I did not know it was our friend Duran's first time going to a comedy show at all, and I was like, what? Okay, I'm glad I came with you. But they had like a bunch of different comics. Some were great and hilarious. All the black ones are funny. Let's just say that. But some of the white ones were just
middling.
One in particular was like actually like a host, but he was so like awful.
Oh, you just like couldn't the host like the whole like Eastern Virginia.
Yes, like, to see Roy Wood Jr.
performers were great.
And
the host was
so awful. You're just like, get off the stage.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yes, and he was like, it was going well until he came on. And like, I felt like the whole momentum of the show went down after he came on. Because even though they had like some, like, they had like a few duds in the middle too. Because they did like five first and then they did like three after. And then he came on. But when he came on and took over, I was like, oh my God, you're awful. And then he heckled me a little bit. He did some crowd work. Mm-hmm. And then he was asking me where I got my glasses from. Mm-hmm. And I said, Vooglam. Because I was sitting in the front because the room was, it was an auditorium, but mm-hmm. it wasn't a lot of us. So we all sat in the front. Mm-hmm. So me and Duran were like the next people. We were like two rows from the front because mm-hmm. the people that were sitting in the front left mm-hmm. after the intermission. Oh. And I told him it was Vooglam. He was like, Blim Blam. I said, no, Vooglam. And he's like, Blim Blam, Glom Blam. Didn't I say the same thing? I was like, no. And then he's like, oh, well, your glasses, they look like you got them from like a thrift store. I was like, no. I just told you where they're from. Vooglam. I was mad. I was like, don't come for me. I'm the fashion, most fashionable person in here. Okay. So he wasn't funny. His jokes were just terrible. And his timing was just like awful. He had a lot of pauses. And I was just like, you are bombing. Please swipe left. Like, thank you, next. I wanted to do that like a couple times. And I'm sorry, it was most of the white people. I wanted to... All the black people were funny. Anyway, but the show was just interesting. I was like, okay. But what I really want to talk about is I saw a comedy special today there's a comedian, the Indian comedian named Akash Singh. His video has been going viral everywhere. He's kind of like the new Matt Rife. Matt Rife is the white dude whose videos were, his social media clips were going everywhere. They became big. Matt Rife is the white dude. Just look him up. But Matt Rife's videos of his crowd work was going everywhere. And they were so funny. But then when I watched Matt Rife's Netflix special, he wasn't that funny. You know what I mean? So I was disappointed. So Akash has a special on YouTube called Gaslight. Mm-hmm. And he like produced and made and used his own money to do it himself. But I've been looking at all his crowd work and he's super funny. So if nobody knows Akash Singh. Akash Singh is basically, if Veer Das and Aziz Ansari had a kid, it would be Akash Singh. Because he tells jokes in a way that Veer Das, like, some bitingness to it. They're like, they're super like offensive and inappropriate. Not like super offensive, but they're like hard line jokes. He's like, I'm gonna go there. But his voice sounds like Aziz Ansari because he's from Texas. He has this really annoying like timbre to his voice. And he sounds like super, you would think he was a black person almost. And I'm just like, yeah. So think Veer Das and Aziz Ansari had a kid. You get Akash Singh. That's him. But I watched his Gaslight special on YouTube. And I actually like really liked it. I didn't like ha 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 the whole time. Mm-hmm. But I liked the topic. Like, I kept listening. Okay. I liked the topic. It was funny. And I was just like, okay. This is like where I wasn't disappointed. Because I, like I said, with Matt Rife, I was watching all his stuff. Mm-hmm. But then I watched the Netflix special and I didn't really care for it. I was like,
You know what? I do know that guy. I've watched a few people and I did watch his stand-up special, Matt Rife. I thought it was entertaining.
It wasn't bad. It just wasn't great to me.
It was a thumbs up, but it wasn't the double thumbs
up. Oh, yeah. Exactly. And I was just like, it was better than Monique's special. Let's be real.
I haven't seen Monique's
Don't even watch that special. One. Okay. It's not even. I'm sorry. Unless I like Monique and I was trying to help her out. And I was like, I wish I didn't watch this. But his Matt Rife special was fine. It just wasn't as funny as all his other crowd work stuff had been. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is he only crowd work? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say he wasn't funny. It's just, it wasn't popping to me. Like, after a while, I stopped laughing. You know what I mean? I was just like, okay. Nah. So, and there were some moments of that, but I liked how Akash was mostly sticking to, like, his family, his relationship with his wife, and all kind of things are very relatable topics. Mm-hmm. Some political things, and so it was like, it was really fun. Like, even if you didn't laugh or how, you'd be like, that was a good point. Yeah, that kind of thing. And it, like, I kept watching it and I wanted to watch to the end. I wanted to hear everything. Mm-hmm. That's different to me, where I'm just like, I want to check out of this. Mm-hmm. Which is like at certain points in Matt Rife's, I wanted to check out.
Gotcha.
Because I was like, okay, I'm done with this. And just like at the comedy show the other night, I wanted to swipe left, you know, be like, bye. And then who's next? Let's get some fresh blood in here. So I would say, yo, Akash Singh, you did your thing. I was really feeling it. it's like a time for Indian comedians, you know, because this is not a profession that you normally are approved by the culture, you know, for them. They know what's up. I guess they are letting them do it now since they've seen Aziz and Veer Das and Hasan Minhaj. They're like, we can do this now.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because now that I think about it, those have been some of my favorite, like, specials.
Yeah, I liked Veer Das's. Oh my god,
of
yes.
Of course, Hasan Minhaj is just like amazing.
Veer Das's one that won him the award, where he kind of talked about his experience of being like not exiled, but being almost canceled by the Indian community for his poem. Mm-hmm. That special was really good, and I think it's on Netflix. I'll have to get the name and put it in the show notes for you guys. But mm-hmm. that special won him an Emmy. Yeah, it won him an Emmy, and it was really good. So I liked it. Some people don't like Veer Das. Some people don't like Akash either. I don't know where Aziz Ansari is, because he was hilarious and funny, but he's gone. He did. Apparently, there was some kind of, like, it was during the Me Too movement. But I was like, hey, was this stuff proven? Like, I didn't even know. Like, so he's just under the radar now. But I really, really liked Akash's special. I think people should watch. I think it was really nice. I loved him talking about his wife and their relationship and things, and like fatherhood and what he thought. Like, it was, even though he had some cutthroat jokes, it was like in between he really was telling his opinions about things, mm-hmm. and it had some sweet light-hearted things that you like, this came from him. Like, you know, he's telling jokes, but like inside he's soft. You know what I mean? He's trying to be like, I'm hard, I'm offensive, but inside he's soft. I just liked it. It was really nice. Like, this is the kind of comedy, especially where the topics I like this. You know what I mean? So yeah. It was really good. I think that's all I'm blurting out about, except for I was talking about going shopping with a friend today. And you know how, like, it's always good when you see certain skills and talents that you have, or just things you like to do, and it like, it works for someone else, or you're putting it to use. That's how I feel when I get to style and dress people that I like, or friends, and then I'm like, you really need a new wardrobe. I really want to add some oomph to your outfits, or I really want you to believe you look good in this. And that's what I do really well. And that so much to the point when I was explaining why a shirt that I really wanted my friend to try mm-hmm. looked better than another one that was a different color and had a different design thing. She's like, how are these two different? And I had to explain it to her. And then the white lady next to us, she was like, I wish I had a personal shopper. I was like, exactly, that's what I am. She's like, I wish somebody was explaining this. I'm just picking up stuff. I was like, shoot, you can call me. I can help you out. You're going to have to pay, though. But I was like, exactly, that's why I'm here. I was explaining to her why this shape, why this adds a little possession, why you should wear this, why this is different from some basic, you know, clothes. It was really nice where, like, I was like, my expertise is working.
Business cards.
I just like that my expertise was working. It's like, I don't do fashion just for nothing. I'm a fashionista, but I understand the science behind these clothes and, like, why it looks good. I'm not going to push you in some, and I had to, like, get her to try things. Like, just try. Try the shape of this. Try the, let's pinch just any. I loved it. And she was open to, she didn't get everything and then some things were like, nah, we're gonna put this down. But she like liked all the things that I recommended.
Nice.
And I was like, I like styling her. So I was like, it really made me feel good. So shopping, I'm blurting about shopping, yo, and being a personal shopper. Nice. Y'all need some help shopping, I will definitely don't mind going with you. Like, I love it. I spent hours with people and I've done it for friends and I'm like, I don't mind. So if you need help, let me know.
Okay.
If you want help too, Whitney, although I do, your clothes are okay to me. I don't think you dress badly. Yeah, I don't think you dress badly. So I'm not trying to be insulting or anything. I was like, I'm not trying to say you don't dress, you dress fine. But I was like, if you want to help some days too. But I think you use your mom mostly for shopping.
I do.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all for me. You blurt out now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sorry you guys, if there's a difference in volume, it's because I didn't turn my mic on.
Oh, were you not talking this whole time? I was talking to myself?
No, I mean, it was picking up, but it wasn't picking up to the same degree because the mic wasn't switched on, so. Sorry, everybody.
Okay, so I wasn't just talking to myself, y'all?
No, you weren't talking to yourself, but it just like, it wasn't picking up as much.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So, what I'm blurting out about, and at first this wasn't on my list at first, but because Bola was talking about like stand-up comedians, it made me remember that I had watched a new stand-up comedy on Prime Video of this comedian named Tig Notaro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard she's good. I think she does dry humor, right?
Yes. So Tig Notaro is a lesbian, and she also had like a she's had a lot of health issues. She actually also had a Prime Video like series that was kind of about her life called One Mississippi that I thought was excellent. I loved that show. Did it have one season?
So, or wait, are you blurting out about One Mississippi or one of her specials?
Well, it made me think about how much I loved One Mississippi, but I might as well should throw that in as a blurt out as well. One Mississippi is great. I recommend it. Should still be on Prime Video. But I'm actually blurting out about her new stand-up special called Tig Notaro, Hello Again.
Okay.
And it's just, it was really funny. Like,
she actually is very funny. I always see her on the Colbert show, Stephen Colbert Tonight, whatever it's called. But I always watch her on there, and I'm like, this lady is really funny.
She is. Like, her style of delivery is, like, very kind of subtle, but it's really funny.
Yeah, and I don't really hate dry humor. I don't like dry humor or, like, dark humor. I'm just like, no. And because the delivery is always the issue, and I'm just like, this isn't funny, but I like her.
Yeah, something about her is just like really funny. It's not the same kind of almost like bombasticness that a lot of other comedians have, but it really works well for her. So I really liked her new special, Tig Notaro, Hello Again.
Where is this being?
It's on Prime Video, which also made me just figure out that I'm not going to pay extra to Prime Video after they did that okie doke where you pay for your year of Prime Video where you expect to have no ads, but then they just slapped ads on there now. Yeah, you didn't know about that? Yeah, now Prime, like your Prime Video subscription that you get with like your, you know, Prime. It used to be, you know, that it was
ad-free.
But now they're putting like ads on there. But this was the first thing I watched other than Roadhouse, because Roadhouse, I watched the new Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal. And that one only had, like, one ad for another movie, and they said, this is brought to you ad-free thanks to whatever the movie was that they had an ad for. But there was nothing else through there, so I was like, cool. So this was the first thing I watched that actually had, like, I guess what the regular amount of ads is going to be for Prime Video. But it was not bad at all. So I was like, you know what? I don't need to pay extra. Like, I can deal with this. This isn't, like, the ads aren't super long. They're not, like, a ton of them I don't even have ads on YouTube because of my YouTube premium that I got when I used to have Google Music and they changed to YouTube Music. So because of that I don't have it, so I don't know how much, but I know like YouTube, I just got my excessive hair retightened and the girl who does my hair, Whitney, she's also named Whitney, she was like, oh yeah, these ads are horrible, and I'm like, I don't know. Because I like, don't have them. I didn't realize how bad they are.
Yes, it's a problem. Like, they will cut you off watching a... Like, mid-sentence, it will just cut to... And they, like, do two. They make sure they do two ads. And if you do not skip, that ad will keep playing or that... Sometimes they'll put, like, a whole two-minute trailer in there as the ad. And you're just like, you're not serious. You have to be on it. I mean, sometimes I like to listen to stuff when I'm in the shower or whatever. I literally have to pop out of my shower and press skip. Cause I don't, I pay for YouTube Music, but the it doesn't translate to the YouTube video, which I don't get why. Cause I was like, why can't it be lumped together? Since I'm paying for this, why can't it? But it just doesn't. So my YouTube Music doesn't have ads, but the YouTube streaming has, unless I watch it on my computer with my ad blocker. That's the only time I can watch YouTube ad free.
So you pay for YouTube Music?
Yeah.
Weird.
And it doesn't translate to YouTube. So, and I was like, why?
Oh,
I don't
know
get
what?
It.
Maybe it's because it's YouTube. No, wait. YouTube Premium? I don't understand.
Me too.
You know what? Maybe it's because I have like the family subscription.
Oh, I don't know what that's about.
Because like my mom also uses like what used to be Google Play Music, and I upgraded my subscription so she could use it as well.
Okay.
So
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe I'm paying for like a higher tier, and maybe that's why.
I had Google Play, but I never paid for it.
I had the all one my where you paid for it.
Oh, but so you were saying you liked Roadhouse.
Roadhouse was the Jake Gyllenhaal Roadhouse was good. I had actually never seen the Patrick Swayze one until I actually watched it after watching the Jake Gyllenhaal one. And I really liked the Patrick, which makes sense because I just like Patrick Swayze. He was so sexy. R.I.P.
That's facts. Yeah, R.I.P.
But that was really good, too. I really liked the Patrick Swayze, like, Roadhouse. Because, you know, sometimes the, like, the 80s movies, if you watch like a newer movie first and you go back and it's like, ah, this is kind of cheesy. I was like, no, I really like this, actually.
I never heard of that one. So there was it's a remake of the Patrick Swayze.
Yes.
Version. Ah, okay.
Yeah. But like, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Okay. But like, yeah. So watching the Tig Notaro special, I guess, is gave me a look into how the ads are going to be for Prime Video stuff. Mm. And it's not bad. I'm like, no, I'm not going to pay extra. This is not bad at all. Mm. Like, not bad.
I need to go watch something on Prime, because I was like, I haven't watched anything on Prime in a while.
You can watch Tig Notaro. Hello again.
Yes, I can. They have a lot of stuff on there. Like, the only thing I've watched on there is because I bought the Naruto, the last movie, and it's like my favorite movie now. Mm. So I just rewatch it at times when I just want to like mind out and I just want something that I love to play on. Mm-hmm. So I just let that play and I never experience any ads. But I haven't watched anything on Prime Video for a while.
Right.
That wasn't through one of the channels.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just like, oh my God, if I go on there, am I going to see ads?
Yeah.
So that's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
If I just if pay my
through,
basic
if
fee.
If it's through your like subscription to Prime Video, then yeah, it's going to be
I just
have
pay
ads.
The basic fee. I don't pay for extras. I pay for one channel, and that's Prime Masterpiece Theater, because I'm waiting for Grant Chester to come back. Only because of Grant Chester, Downton Abbey's over. So that's the only show I watch on there. So I only pay for that, and that's it. So I'm going to see ads now if I watch like something on Prime.
Do you have
Amazon
Prime?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you're like stuff that you would usually see. Like, for example, I
the
haven't
freezing?
Watched... Yeah, so like The Rings of Power, even though I didn't watch all of that, but like, whereas before it would have been ad-free, now you're probably going to see like ads.
Son of a salsa go. They but really like, going to try to get us really
But it
upset.
Wasn't bad at all. It was like, I was like, this isn't bad.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, I can do this. Another thing I am blurting out about is season 2 of Physical 100 on Netflix.
Mm.
I'm pretty fond of like the competition shows, like reality competition.
Yeah, you do like yourself some reality
especially
competition.
Especially when it's like very physical, because I loved on Netflix, what was it? Ultimate Beastmaster.
I thought you liked more the creative arts type thing. So
I do.
Didn't know you like physical competition shows.
I do. Well, it depends on what it is. But I really liked Ultimate Beastmaster, which was a Netflix show. And they had like Terry Crews as a host on there at one point. It only lasted like 3 or 4 seasons. But it had people from all around the world. Like they had like the U.S. team. They had the Indian team, Italy, and different seasons they would like kind of switch some of the country's teams out, even though the U.S. team was always kind of a mainstay.
Mm.
But it was also funny because each country had like 2 hosts and a booth, like in each country had a booth, and they were like cheering on their contestants. But then the like hosts would go to the other country's booths, and just the interactions between them was just like super funny.
Oh, wow.
It's just really fun. Okay. So Ultimate Beastmaster on Netflix is really cool. But like, yeah, Physical 100, it's a Korean show.
Mm.
I watch it dubbed. I don't know if you can watch it in Korean or not.
You probably
can.
Probably change it.
Yeah, but it's just, it's really interesting. I just find...
My drama, you can watch in English too.
Okay.
So I prefer to watch Korean dramas in Korean.
But the way they've dubbed it, I find it kind of interesting because you can kind of hear the voices low sometimes. Mm. Of, like, the actual, like, Korean voices behind. And you can tell that they, you know, got somebody to voice over to, like, you know, the reactions and the contestants talking to each other. So it's, like, different than, like, other dubbing where it's, like, they've just replaced the voices entirely. This is, like, you can sometimes hear some of the original behind
interesting.
It.
Interesting. Is it the same person talking or is it, like, background people?
It's, like, the same.
Like, that sounds like it would be annoying
to me.
Same
person. But it's not. It's not. It's just, like... I don't know. It's hard to describe, but it's an interesting way they do it. Though the editing annoys me sometimes.
Because
they'll be like, the whistle will blow and they'll start. And then they'll like do a cut to a different angle of the same scene.
Mm-hmm.
And the whistle will blow to start. And it's the same freaking voiceover. And they'll do it like 3 times. And I'm like, you guys don't need to switch perspective 3 times for me to hear this person say the same thing 3 times. This is annoying sometimes.
Oh, that you don't know. Because it's honestly, I know what you're talking about, but it's because Korean rap variety TV, this is what they do all the time.
Oh.
They kind of like go back because they're just going to like make comedy or they're going to make something interesting. So they'll go back to the same part again and like, oh, repeat some perspective here. Repeat another perspective here. It's crazy, but it's something that they like to do.
I find it annoying. Mm. I'm like,
just move on. But they'll do it from like 3 angles and you're like,
right?
And then you hear the same thing again. You're just like, oh, this person. Oh, that person. Like, stop. Like, just move on.
Stop. Yes. Move on. Oh my God. I find that editing to be annoying.
They like doing that because sometimes I don't know, they just like doing that. I only know this because my family watches a lot of Korean variety TV.
Thank you for letting me know that, because I'm like, who is doing this editing?
It's their thing. They like doing it.
And then just really quickly, I am blurting out, I'm like, me and my mom watch shows or movies together. So our current show, because we finished True Detective Night Country.
Oh, I thought you were gonna blurt out about Tina. You're not gonna do that?
No, because I didn't see all of it.
Why? You didn't go to see Tina yesterday?
Very briefly, into the second half after the intermission, the lights came on, the alarm came on, they evacuated everybody from the Altria Theater.
What happened?
I don't know. There was like, apparently there was not any actual issue, because like there was a whole bunch of fire trucks and stuff. But there was no actual issue, but there was something, okay, there was an issue, but it wasn't like, there wasn't like a smoke or fire or anything. There was something wrong with the sprinkler system, so that's been fixed. So all the shows that are today, so Saturday and the rest of the weekend, are fine after they like got the sprinkler system fixed. But like, so we go out, because like I went with my mom and dad, because I'm usually my mom's ride or die for Broadways, but if my dad's interested, then he gets like priority pick.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool, because for Christmas, they're like, you don't have to buy your own ticket for Tina. That's our Christmas present to you. We paid for your Tina ticket. Because since my mom's a Broadway subscription holder for Broadway in Richmond, she has the same seats for every show. But she also, as part of that, gets to have, like, she can get ticket, like, additional tickets before the shows go on sale. So they got my ticket, and I was just the row directly behind them on the aisle, which, awesome! Aisle seats. But yeah, so then we go out, and me and my mom and dad are outside Monroe Park, and my dad's like, we're not gonna go back in. They're not gonna be able to like get all these people back. I was like, no, we might go back in. And then two or three more fire trucks come, and I'm like, okay, I think dad's right. Like, we're not getting back in for this show.
Why would they do, like, so no fire happened? They just was like, everybody needs to leave? Like,
it was, I guess maybe because of the malfunctioning or something, whatever was wrong with the sprinkler system, maybe it was what caused it. But yeah,
why couldn't they have fixed that later? Like,
I think because it's a fire hazard. Like, they couldn't let people back in until it was fixed.
Oh my God.
Not really, because if you think about it, if something, I don't think anybody did pull the alarm. I think maybe the malfunction in the system caused the alarms to go, because if something did happen, if the systems aren't working, then that building's just
so
gone.
The alarm just went off.
Yeah.
And nobody actually pulled it. Somebody just, it just went off.
Yeah.
Something was malfunctioning.
And I think because of the malfunction is why it went off.
So nothing happened, really. Y'all had to just, it was like a false alarm, really, but
not exactly a false alarm, because, like,
but apparently there was no problem. It was just a malfunction in the system.
Well, I mean, a malfunction is still a problem.
But it was, like, no fire was happening,
right,
actually.
Right,
there was no, like, no stabbing, no fire, no nothing. No, you know, at the Altria, there was somebody got shot, you know? Yeah,
yes,
so there was nothing like that, but it was just like,
But my mom emailed me earlier today, because like people who were in attendance, they were refunding, or they would try to sit you for one of the other shows based on what seats they had available. So me and my mom are going to go tomorrow, and we're going to be in the grand tier, which, you know, we were on the orchestra level, row L before, which are excellent seats, and now we're in the grand tier. But they should still, I mean, since we both have aisle seats, that should still be pretty decent.
Wow, that's terrible. Like, I feel bad for everybody that watched this, that couldn't go back in, because you know that they didn't redo that. Like, they didn't finish the rest of the show.
Yeah, that was a bummer. But at least we'll get to see the rest of it now.
Okay,
tomorrow.
So you get to see. And dad's not going?
No, he decided not to.
He didn't want
to
see it anymore. He's like, I'm over it.
So, yeah, I would have blurted out, but I didn't see all of it. So
okay.
Maybe
I'm
next
sorry
time.
I jumped the gun. I guess I should have asked you about this off camera.
No,
I mean,
no,
off
record. It's cool. It's cool. So, yeah, we're watching The Good Wife now.
Okay, good.
On Paramount Plus, which I am happy to report is actually being decent, because I thought Paramount Plus was the crappiest streamer I had ever watched. Because when I tried to watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, it was stuttering so much through there. And I was like, Paramount Plus, you suck balls.
Right. And remember I told you how I had a whole blurred rant about how I couldn't watch Bob Hart's Abishola on there because I was like, what was the point of me getting the free trial to watch the show when it's not there? Like, it just disappeared.
Oh,
remember? Wow. And it never came back. And I was like, where's the show? And they were like, we don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, all right, I'm getting off this. And then I had to like buy it through. I had to purchase the whole last season through Amazon Prime just to watch the last season. Mm. So I have the last season of Bob Hart's Abishola, but none of the first three, just fourth season. Anyway, but Paramount Plus, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, but I'm glad to say that it's actually functioning like a streaming provider should be now. Because I was afraid it was going to stutter its way through like it did when I tried to watch Mutant Mayhem.
Because I'm lying. Stutter. Do you know that song? I tried it. I pulled a U, Whitney. You know what I mean?
I like it. That was great.
Don't you know that song? Stutter. That was Joe back in the day.
Yeah, I think it was Joe.
Yes, '90s kids, raise up.
Fire song. I'm gonna have to add it to one of my recent playlists because that is a fire song.
I wanna know. Do you want? Anyway, that was Joe.
I know that one
too,
but I can't remember the lyrics to that one. But like, stutter was super fire.
Right, and it's like the only word. It's the only song that has the word stutter. Like as the main chorus.
All right, and I just got one more, and that is just movie trailers.
Oh my gosh, again, Whitney. I don't know if we should blur out about movie trailers anymore because, like, they're always there.
They're always going to be there. Really good ones. Like, I am blurting out about the movie trailer for Bill Skarsgård's got a new movie that's coming out called Boy Kills World. It's like an action thing. Mm-hmm. Actually, kind of a revenge-y action thing, I'm pretty sure. Probably very similar to our. Well, not me,
we're gonna be talking
not
about.
In the, yeah, but like, you know, revenge action movie. But it looks awesome. It looks like very over the top and stuff. And I just kind of like Bill Skarsgård, period.
Mm.
That whole family's pretty talented now that I mentioned it. Alexander Skarsgård, Stellan Skarsgård, all of the Skarsgårds. Okay. There might even be more of them. I don't know. But
hey, it wouldn't be the first time.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then last is this one's kind of, you know what? I'm not even going to say I'm ashamed of being excited for this. Bad Boys, Ride or Die.
Actually, yeah, that looks good.
Right?
Will Smith, I watched
every
that whole thing.
Every Bad Boys I've ever seen has been like, I've loved it.
Yeah, so I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it too. Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad at Will Smith.
Right?
I'm going to keep watching.
He didn't punch, he slapped the dude one time.
Let's get over it. Y'all act like it's the worst thing ever.
I mean, it wasn't classy, but like, he slapped him.
It's not the worst thing ever.
Exactly. So I'm like, I'm going to go see it because it looks like fire.
I partially think that the Illuminati made him do it. Just because I don't know why I said that. I was like, sometimes like they just make them do stuff. Anyway, I'm just joking.
And that's it for me. I am at the end of my blurting out.
Sorry, I'm like mad. I'm like laughing at myself that I actually like said that thing outwardly because I'm not one that likes to dive and dwell and like delve into conspiracy. But I was like. When the Illuminati is concerned, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can believe that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they would do that. Yeah. It's a huge cult. Yes. Anyway, so.
Let's get into.
Now, actually, no. Ooh. Topics in Blackness.
Oh, that's right.
So we're going to have our segment, Topics in Blackness. Blackness, Blackness. All right. What do you think the topic is about, Whitney?
I think it's about Diddy.
No, actually.
Oh, snap. Well, I don't know then.
All right. So I don't want to talk about Diddy, actually, because he's part of the problem. I'm thinking he's getting what he deserves.
Right.
Put some bad things out there. Should catch up to you. Mm-hmm. Just I'm saying. I'm like, stuff is catching up to you now. Just like
not
Trump.
Say what's done in the dark.
Will eventually come to the light. God don't like ugly, y'all. Mm-hmm. People ain't living right. Mm-hmm. You will be exposed eventually. Whether it's in your lifetime or in your death, you will be exposed. Mm. Look at Jeffrey Epstein. He was doing his dirt for a long time, but he got exposed and then he died. You know what I mean? So anyway, mine is on something better.
Okay.
Well, I honestly wanted to blurt out about this, but I'd rather do a Topics in Blackness.
Okay.
Because of the connection of the two people. So I actually want to talk about females in music. Two particular people. So everybody knows now, if you didn't, I don't know which rock you're living under, but everybody knows that Beyonce released a country album called Cowboy Carter. And I don't know if you know this, but there was so much buzz and talk about it because people were like, no, she's not really country. It's not really country. And I had not listened to it, but it's like it's the number one album right now. Mm. It's been streaming. Like it surpassed all the streaming, reviews and everything. It's like number one. Mm. And I was like, you know what? People are saying such things about it. Everyone's talking about this. I was like, you know, I didn't listen to her last album. Mm-hmm. Not because I didn't, I liked Cuff It. I liked, You Won't Break My Soul, but I was just like, not a lot of Beyonce songs always appeal to me. Mm. And let's get it straight. I think Beyonce is awesome. I think she's an amazing artist. She has skill and talent, mm-hmm. and I just don't worship her like everybody else does. and not all of her songs hit to me. Mm-hmm. Not all her songs I like, I don't go crazy, mm-hmm. but I do like Beyonce and I think she's awesome.
Right.
And when she does something awesome, I'm going to say it. Like, mm-hmm. I love Black is King. I really did. Mm-hmm. I like Cuff It, Break My Soul. I will crank those songs. But I didn't really listen to the whole album. And some songs on that album I didn't care for. Mm-hmm. But this one I listened to because, one, I learned that Beyonce decided to do a country album out of defiance. Mm-hmm. One, because she wanted to do this earlier. Mm-hmm. But because she was so unwelcomed in the country community and all that kind of stuff, it just was not the time. Mm-hmm. So now she's so liberated and, like, you know, it's like everything she does is gold right now. But now she's so liberated, so mm-hmm. confident. She's just like, fuck y'all, I'm doing this. You know what I mean? And she did. And I have to say, to me, this is not a full country album. Mm-hmm. I would say this is a country-inspired album. Mm-hmm. But I like the fusion. Yeah. I like what she did. I was like, I listened to it like once or twice. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, I actually really like this. Like some of these songs, I was like, I love the song Bodyguard on there. I love the song she did with Post Malone. And her version of Jolene was great. She did a song with Miley Cyrus that I liked. I mean, it's honestly masterful what she does. Hmm. Just like people talk about Taylor Swift, but both of them have great songwriting chops, mm-hmm. and they are able to fuse themselves into. And it's a Beyonce album, of course, but I like the country addition. I like the songs that are more so sound like her country fusion, mm-hmm. and then there's some songs on there that sound like traditional Beyonce tracks, mm-hmm. that I was just like, this doesn't sound like country at all. This mm-hmm. just sounds like your regular urban R&B stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it would help with her regular fans mm-hmm. that like her regular stuff, her mm-hmm. R&B hip-hop stuff,
yeah,
to be more cool with the album, mm-hmm. because some things are more country inspired, mm-hmm. but I liked it. And so I just think it was messed up. She was getting backlash for it that I was like, nah. And I'm liking now that she is proving people wrong. They're like, hey, why does she have to stay in the lane of R&B and hip-hop? Mm-hmm. Like, if she wants to do, like, Taylor Swift was originally country, mm-hmm. and now she's full on pop. Nobody said anything, but because a black woman wants to switch from, you know, and it's like nobody talks now about Eminem or, you know, Jack Harlow. Like, white people can be good rappers too. Mm-hmm. Now everybody and their mama raps, you know. So I was like, no one race owns a genre. Mm-hmm. And I like that she was like, no, I'm out here. I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm going to do this. This is my Beyonce album inspired by country. I like country, too. And she is paving the way for other black country artists that kind of mix a little bit of the, like, trap hop, mm-hmm. trap country, like Nas X did with the Country Road, mm-hmm. that kind of thing that they're doing. And I'm like, what's wrong with it? It's all good. If it's good, it's good. All
right.
So I had to give props to Beyonce for that because... Yeah. And I actually say, give it a listen. Like, while you're driving and stuff, give the album a listen. It's very interesting.
I'll have to give it a listen.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as the haters, my pastor has said that people ain't talking about you because you ain't doing anything.
Mm. Go ahead, Whitney, and Whitney's pastor. You know what I mean? So, conversely, I wanted to talk about, on the other side, recently, Lizzo had posted a little thing on her thing about being in so much pain and being criticized and tired of people like putting her down, mm-hmm. like defaming her character, mm-hmm. her person, all because of how she looks and that she wants to, well, dare I say, sing and be a plus size woman in the world and mm-hmm. be awesome and putting her stuff out there. They, I guess haters didn't like her, how much she was rising and how much she was shining. Mm-hmm. And she had posted a thing about being tired, and then she put at the end, I quit. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people took it that, oh my gosh, she's quitting music. Mm-hmm. I did too. So I was right on there giving her a feedback, like, no, Lizzo, you have to like brush the haters off. Mm-hmm. Like, don't do that. We love you still. Forget what they say. Don't look at them. My sister even put like a Bible verse in her comment under Instagram. And so everyone was like, Lizzo, let's not.
Don't let these freaking haters win.
Right. And so I felt for her so bad because she's been having all these issues lately. But I was just like, this is not fair to her because she's awesome. Mm-hmm. And she should be allowed, just because she don't look like Beyonce, she's beautiful in her own way. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean she's not worthy of being, occupying space and making music.
Right.
And I just was like, I felt like both of these two were connected because even though Beyonce is what she is, everyone's mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, she's beautiful, awesome, and everything. But then still, she's trying to do country, featuring backlash. Why? Mm-hmm. Lizzo's out here trying to make music, but because she's not a six skinny Barbie, mm-hmm. they're like, you shouldn't be out here doing anything, like trying to tear her down, trying to diss her. It's ridiculous. Mm. Thank God she came back on the next week and posted and explained herself.
What'd she say?
She basically said that when she meant it, what she meant was that she says she quit, but she didn't quit the music industry. Mm-hmm. She says she quits paying so much attention to all this negativity.
There we go.
She quit letting people have power over her mm-hmm. and letting it affect her so much. Mm-hmm. And I was like, more power to you. So yes. She's like, she's not going to let all this stuff get her down or make her give up her dream. Mm-hmm. God-given talent that she has. And I was like, keep making the hits, keep making the songs, keep doing what you gotta do. And kudos to Beyonce. I was like, Beyonce, you keep evolving and doing what you gotta do too. Mm-hmm. Because again, nobody owns the music space. Everybody's doing what they want to do. It's all art. Mm-hmm. If it's not for you, it's not for you. Go to the side, but please check your haterade at the door. Okay,
right.
So I just felt bad that both of these people that I really like were, you know, it's just like, I just felt like the parallelism was just interesting. It was in different ways, but it was like, and I had to make sure I listened to Beyonce's album first before I said anything. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually good. I actually prefer this music to the other album that everyone went to see, for the Renaissance.
Oh, okay.
I preferred the music. I do. I don't know why, but I prefer this album to, Black is King still the best one to me. Mm-hmm. And I still prefer her earlier music mm-hmm. from back in the 2000s.
Yeah.
But I was like, Beyonce's doing a thing. She really is. And I give her, like, all the praise. And Lizzo, you know you're my girl. You're always doing things. But I just wanted to bring it up because both of these are Black women mm-hmm. celebrities that are experiencing oppression and backlash for different things. But it's not unfamiliar to the struggles women have.
Right.
Whether, especially Black women. They're both Black women. So if it's not because you're Black, it's because of the way you look. You know, it's something on you that they have to try and tear you down, you mm-hmm. know? Anyway, what do you think, Whitney?
I think I've said my piece on it.
Right.
If they aren't talking about you, it's because you ain't doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that something?
Ain't that something? And most of these people who are talking about these people ain't doing nothing.
Right. And I was like, the haterade is just so strong. And I'm just like, it's ridiculous. But
you gotta, like, some people say just stay out of the comments.
Right.
And you know, this kind of business guy that I follow, Gary Vaynerchuk, mm-hmm. I don't follow him like religiously, but I do really like what he has to say. He does a lot of cursing in his content, but he's like, I'm sorry, that's just who I am. He was like, I know that I turn some people off with it, but it's just my DNA. I can't change mm-hmm. my DNA. But one of the things he said, he's like, when people tell me how much they like me and stuff, he's like, I appreciate it, but I don't like really take it in and internalize it.
Don't let his head get big.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But he's like, it's just one of those things. He's like, I don't take either thing in. Because mm-hmm. he's like, there's a lot of people who don't like me. I don't take that in either. He's like, so it's almost like a thing. He's like, don't believe the hype mm-hmm. about yourself. You're never as good as they say you are or as bad as they say you are.
You know what? It's a good balance. It's a good balance. But anyway, for both of them are very successful. They're doing mm-hmm. well. They're very talented. And I've not been to a Beyonce concert or anything. I mean, I've seen her perform before. But I've witnessed Lizzo in concert. And I don't care what anybody say. That's a big girl that got stamina. that can pull it out, that can dance, that can sing. And like her vocals never, in the show that I watch, her vocals never dropped, never fell. I was impressed when I watched, when I went to Lizzo's concert, and I was very, I just had a great time. Music was fire. Lizzo. So
she's like I think we talked about it on a previous episode. Mm-hmm. Like she's like modern funk. It's
yes,
awesome.
And I love that style. That's like my, that's where my jam is. Mm. Yeah. Sometimes Beyonce be trying to do hip hop and rap, and I'm like, stop, Beyonce. But she's allowed to do that, but I don't like it. I don't know why I don't like it. So I'm just like,
And this is the appropriate but she's allowed way to express that, people. It's like,
yes,
she's doing it. I'm not a fan.
But I'm not a fan of it.
I don't need to go up in her comments.
Right. I'm not going to bash her or anything because she's awesome anyway. But it's I don't like that. If I'm not a fan,
I'm not going to be up in her DMs like, I don't like this thing you did.
I'm not going to be calling her a sack of mashed potatoes like a freaking stupid comedian did. He got canceled anyway. Aries Spears. But that's what he called Lizzo one time.
I don't even know who that is.
He's a comedian. He was on Mad TV for a while. But he's like, he's not that famous. He had a scandal that came out. Him and Tiffany Haddish, they had like a scandal involving a kid and some inappropriate stuff.
Mm.
And something they were, anyway, this is, we're not on the topics in blackness. We're not talking about them. We're not going to pay attention to haters, but he called Lizzo a sack of mashed potatoes one time. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Mm.
It was very inappropriate and not cool for a black man to be doing that. Somebody that looks like him too. He is not attractive. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's like pot meat kettle. You know what I mean? I was like,
what? No, Lizzo's very attractive.
Lizzo?
Yeah, Lizzo's very attractive.
Well, it was not for Lizzo. Just like, I was like, I
when
know
you said
not
pot
trying
meets kettle. That's
okay,
what I mean.
You're right. No, I'm not trying to talk about that. Sorry, that's not what I was going at. I was like, I know you're not talking about somebody being ugly when, you know, you have you seen yourself? You're not attractive either. I mean, she's attractive, but you're not attractive. So Lizzo is beautiful to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's beautiful. I think she looks great. She keeps herself fit and everything and stamp. Like, she's just not a skinny person. Mm-hmm. And not everybody needs to be skinny.
Right.
And she's still out here doing her stuff. And I think she's awesome. So I was like, for you to call her a sack of mashed potatoes, come on. Like, you're tearing down your own people. Right. I was like, well, nobody even knows your name anymore. Like, Whitney didn't know your name now. Like, well, how are you talking about her like that? Anyway, I'm going to stop because I'm going to get off the soapbox.
Some of it's just jealous of people. They're jealous.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so in poor taste for him to publicly do that to her and humiliate her like that, that she had to make a statement about it too. And I was just like, come on. Do better. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You older than her too. You don't got no sense. Don't you have daughters or something? Like, think about what you're saying. You're probably the cause of all. Like, and nobody cares about your beauty standards. You know? So, anyway.
Anyway.
All right. Let's get into Monkey Man. But yep. That was our topics in blackness. Blackness.
Bliggity, bliggity.
Yes. Let's blackness. Just be better. Let's be better and uplift. If you don't, like, what is the old adage? If you got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all.
That's
keep
right.
that comment to yourself. Thanks. Bye. Anyway, all right, so let's get into Monkey Man.
Scat,
what was
scat,
your?
Scat.
Oh, I second that. Okay.
I feel like that's how we should end all of the topics.
I wonder. All right. All right. So, Monkey Man, what was your first impression of Whitney?
My first impression was from the trailer.
Mm.
And I was like, this looks awesome. Mm. And I gotta say, like, one of my things was like cinematography, like it was very stylish too.
Yes.
Especially near the end, yes. Like the near the final scenes, because like the poster, the main poster for Monkey Man and that actual scene, because at first I thought they just kind of like did some color work for the poster itself, but mm-hmm. No, it's like from a scene in there,
right,
with all that red and stuff, and I'm like, this is awesome. It almost felt kind of Kill Bill-ish, but you know what? It's probably not that, because we were reading an article, me and Bowler, where they were Dev Patel was talking about being inspired from like the old kung fu movies, like Bruce Lee and stuff,
right?
And
in the
what's
Korean
his name?
Revenge films,
the dude who did, why am I blanking on his name? Kill
Jordan
Bill.
Peele? Oh. Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino. I know that scene from Kill Bill was like inspired from like a Bruce Lee film. So like it's just mm-hmm. inspired from the same thing, but it's just like it was really cool and stylized, and the way they colored. And I know like the mirror thing that I kept noticing.
Yes, that was my favorite thing.
Yeah,
that
apparently
I thought was super
that was
artistic.
Inspired by a Bruce Lee film as well. Mm. Like there was some type of mirror thing in one of his Bruce Lee's films that it was like taking inspiration from. I don't think I've seen any Bruce Lee films, so I'm not familiar enough to know the reference, but I was like, that was pretty cool.
Right, right. I enjoyed that. So my first impression of this film, I mean, when I saw the trailer, I was like, I want to see this. Because like, you like Dev Patel. I do like, he has such high emotional range, and he does do weird films, but they're always interesting.
Did you ever watch?
I didn't get to watch the
It's
the
actually
night.
On something else
Green
now.
Green Knight, right?
Yeah. I think it's on it. Max now, because it was on Prime, I think. It's on Max, so you can
Max,
watch it.
Though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't have Max anymore. Somebody like changed the password. Anyway, okay. So I really liked Dev Patel. I loved him in Lion, Slumdog Millionaire, and some other things. I even saw him on Modern Love. Like, he did an episode on season one, because I watched season two first accidentally. So season one, I just like him. I like anything he's in. I just like to look at him sometimes. So I'm just like, what is he up to? He's like, he was like low-key. I don't even know if I should say low-key. He was like kind of sexy in this film.
He was.
Something about him was super attractive. And I was just like, I'm about to add you to the list, okay? but for the film, I really liked, I like when you have a modge podge of different influences coming together, like this, like this confluence, you know, of all these random different things. And when I saw interviews and things of him, because I always love to hear from them after the fact of what this film is about.
Yeah,
I like to hear what they were inspired by, how they think, you know, this is my thing. Y'all know who listen. This is my thing. I love finding out. So I watch interviews, I listen, I read articles, whatever I need to do. And like you said already, Whitney, you can see the influences of the Kung Fu and the, and so people are calling this the Indian John Wick.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, the action is there. The Asian inspired, the action sequences and choreography were amazing.
Yes.
But there was some artistic elements. Also his Hindu faith in his Indian background. All of that was in there, you know, and he just was wanted to tell this real guttural story. And I just liked seeing all of it come together and it come together very unique way, interesting way.
Yeah.
And I do have some points for the story thing that I'll get into later, but I did enjoy the cinematography. I did enjoy that confluence and the different things converging into one story. Cause it's like, it had the political aspects, the social aspects, the you know, the randomness, the, you know, all these things are coming together. And you're just like, at first you're just like, this is a lot for just this one little narrative. This is a revenge story, basic revenge story. It also had a lot of blood and a lot of like gutter, like guerrilla. I don't even know what to call this gruesome fighting. Like, oh God, I'm not gonna lie. I am not the person that likes super violent, hyper violent film. I do like good fight scenes. I love a good fight scene, but I don't like things that are too gory, and I don't like, like action that's just like super violent for no reason. But I feel like there was a cause for it here. But this one is like, I had to close my eyes at certain scenes. That's why I was like, ah, I can't witness this. I felt slightly guilty. I was like, Jesus, I need to pray and cleanse myself. But I like this, how it was done. To be honest with you, I like how it was done. I love the scene where the I don't know what to call them. They call them the Hirani, but like the transvestites people, or the those people that are on the lower end of society that helped him out when he was found, and they nursed him back to health. I love that the men came, in, or some of them are women too. I love that they all came in the dresses.
Or non-binary. I was reading an article that said that they were like the third gender.
Yeah.
Is how they identified.
You could probably call them non-binary then. But it was a mix of men and women that were considered non-binary.
But I was
non-binary.
Like, that point in the film where I was almost wanted to kind of like hop up and be like, come through.
Right. Because I was like, I love the fact that you have these women dressed up and they dressed it. Just like, it looked like women because of how they were dressed. Because those particular clothes are traditional Indian women's clothes, and they were super ornate, super colorful, super shiny, and then they had the mask on of like the makeup
Shiva,
of like,
I think,
we're gonna take you guys out.
Yeah,
and I just, you just see the women just roll up. Woo! It was like the Dora Milaje, you know what I mean? I was like, and the
and
way
they whooped ass.
Yes, they did, and I was just like, wow, come through, like you said. But I love the scene. This is where I have to say the cinematography points, and they're so artistic. Mm-hmm. I love the scene where you just see there's all amid all this violence, real blood going everywhere. You just see the beauty of their skirts, flowing like this through. And I love the camera work of this. I don't know, something righteous about it, because it was like these women are on the bottom of society,
and someone had already beaten up one of the members of their community.
Yes.
And
they get attacked, they get harmed, these non-binary people. But it was like, this film was about those kind of
marginalized people rising up.
Yes, exactly. And I just love that juxtaposition of the beauty of them in those beautiful skirts, but they were doing something super violent. But it was righteously, for righteous reasons, I think. So those kind of choices. Or at the very end of the film, taking off the big bad boss. And I love how you have, you know, the whole story of Hanuman was a big inspiration to Dev Patel. So he wanted to put that in. He said in the article that was part of his life story. Like it was like something that his parents and his family have always been like, that was the god that they chose to like keep and worship, and like it meant a lot to them. And he said that even for action in gyms in India, you always see Hanuman and some other, and Arnold Schwarzenegger and some other figure. Like they were always there. So the story meant a lot to him, and he wanted to like, I guess, have that symbolism of the story was in there. And so I like that at the end when he's fighting the big boss, you have that tapestry of the fight scene of Hanuman like destroying things. Like it was just on the glass, and I was just like, I don't know where it was projecting from, but I just loved it. It was there while he was fighting.
It was more of a mural than on glass.
Was it? Because it looked like it was on the glass for the building. That's what I thought. So I was like,
no, because the glass, like the building had glass on one side, and then like on the other side was the tapestry. The mural.
Okay, but I like how when they flipped it, it was like it. Parts of it was on the glass.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it just was like reflection. While they were fighting. Yeah. And it just was like, it worked. I was like, oh, that's a really artistic choice. And the scene you were talking about, too, I really liked that. And conversely, there were some scenes where I was like, the camera work was way too shaky.
Oh, I did. I really felt that, too. Because there were some points where I was like, I don't like this first person. This is too much moving and shaking for me.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember about me and Alan. Alan is an Indian guy that we know, a friend, and he was talking about that. We both like clued on to that. We were like, yeah, those scenes were like a little too shaky.
Yeah.
But apparently, like some of that was shot through like an iPhone.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. Well, dude, just put this out there. I'm going to put this video in the show notes, but apparently he went through a lot for this film. Like, a lot of disasters, problems, and this is the first film where he directed and wrote, executive produced all in one. And he had a lot of problems getting funding. They lost their location. I thought it was shot in India. How well it was done. I really thought, I was like, oh, this is India. But apparently they shot the whole thing in Indonesia. And he said they lost funding, they lost financier. He said some of their staff died, like somebody had a heart attack. He lost a lot, some of his crew. He had like only 8 stuntmen, and he broke some bones throughout the process. And you see all the fighting that he did. He had to train and bulk up a little bit as much as he could do, because he has like a slim, thin frame.
But it looked good on him.
Yes, but he was really trying. And so he's like, he broke his finger. He had like a screw in his finger because he had broken his finger. And he was literally doing all these scenes with a screw in his finger. And he had broken some toes. Somebody stepped on his toes real hard, broke some of his toes. I was like, oh my God. Like, I would have, all the tragedy that happened through this film, I would have been like, we need to stop. And the Lord is trying to tell me something. Too. But he persevered.
Like, it was supposed to be, this was supposed to be on Netflix, I read in an article or something. But Netflix like pulled out because they were afraid of how their Indian audiences would react, because it's like a lot of it gets really into like Indian like politics and stuff. Like,
in their culture, they don't like to emphasize the bad or show the bad, and they get super offended and start chirping. Even though I'm like, y'all know this is happening, right? Y'all stop playing. Like, you're quick to point out the bad in other people, but y'all don't want to point it out for yourselves. So it was one of those things. But I'm glad he didn't waver. I'm glad he didn't let that stop. I'm glad Jordan Peele's production company, which, interestingly enough, was Monkey something.
Monkey Paw. Yeah, I thought it was funny. Because I watched it today before we filmed. And it was funny to me, like, as, you know, each, like, distribution or production company has their little image or little video that thing, and the monkey paw comes up with like the paw stirring some tea or something, and I'm like, ha, monkey paw produced Monkey Man.
Yeah, I thought it was really worth that he came in and helped out, and so he was able to get this done. And it took him years to, he said he had the story idea for like 10 years. But that just goes to show you, sometimes you have a vision idea, you just got to keep working on it. It might take a while, but let it be to fruition. You know what I mean?
Whispering words of wisdom, let it be.
Exactly. So I like that he forged through all this tragedy and pain and struggles. And he was like, there were times where they didn't have enough money, that they were like, they didn't have enough stuff for multiple takes for things. The camera people had to become stuntmen at times.
Oh my God.
Like had to use an iPhone to shoot some of the shots or like certain things. He literally learned how to like work on the fly to make this, because he's like, I have to produce. Such a passion project for him. And you know he loved films when you do, because like all the stuff he was going through, he'd be like, yo, stop this. Everything would have been like, stop this. But he persevered through it, especially the injuries. He like broke so many bones doing this film.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, oh my God. Like, how were you? This film's all about fighting. How are you going to break your hand and still be doing? But he pushed through. I don't know. He had a screw in there and it kept it together. And he was still doing his films. I'm going to put this video in the show notes because you guys have to like listen to this. And I was like, I mean, I had to give him some props for finding all that stuff out. I was like, wow, Dev, you really wanted the story told. But so all that, you could see the passion in the project. You could see even the issues he was having, like with the financing, the budgeting and all that kind of stuff. You could see all that in there. Like it wasn't not like done in a good quality, but you could just, when he said it, I was like, yeah, I could see the struggle. This is like a gutter film, like a underbelly crime film. Like he wanted to get down deep in there. You know what I mean? Into the real, like, this is about a kid from the gutter, a kid from the, and I was saying earlier that it's kind of like, he did Slumdog Millionaire, that's how we got to know Dev Patel from the beginning. And it's like, it kind of went full circle because it's like another slum kid, but this time, that kid is, it's like this kid's getting his revenge. Because kid, and that's all his name, like we have no name for what his real name
is. Yeah, I mean, he goes by Bobby when he like infiltrates place, but yeah, that's not his name.
And he never goes by it again.
If you go on IMDb, it's just got him as kid.
Right, right. And remember, I think you said it's just because he kind of stands for all the kids where this happens to in
the everyman. He's like, he's kind of almost like, you know, in the one of the
not
Batman
the everyman
movies.
But the every slum kid. Yeah, let's say that
it's kind of like in the Batman movies how they were like, it's like you need to be a symbol, and it's kind of like, I felt like it was kind of like that. It felt very V for Vendetta, like this could be any one of you. Which, and Bola before we started recording was talking about how he didn't talk very much.
Yeah, he didn't say much.
Like, I wonder if that's purposeful. So it's like almost kind of like in a video game, you project yourself onto the character. So him not talking that much is so that you can be him. You are the kid.
Interesting. That's a good point, Whitney. That's an interesting point that you made. So another thing is I liked that this, you saw the journey. I'm not going to lie to you. I felt like the beginning part of the story was a little like pacing. Was maybe, I don't know if it was off, but it was just like, I needed more of the background to come in a little bit sooner than it did. Because you like, the whole time you're watching for like first half, you're just like, okay, but there's something here. Like, what is it? Like, and I was just coming like, okay, we're watching more of this, more scenes, more craziness, more. But I was like, where is it going? Where is it going? You know? And I was like, where's the full story? So for the first half, I was like, man, I wish he had injected it a bit more.
Yeah.
Instead of us just seeing flashes and then we don't still know the whole story. Because I was like, okay, well, there's definitely some trauma. Somebody killed his mom. That's the vendetta he's working towards. He's trying to like get up in there. We're seeing some craziness, we're seeing the wildness of the underbelly, the corruption of the police, sex trafficking, forced labor, bad stuff, you know, we're just seeing all this bad stuff basically. And like, okay, we he's painting the scene of his life and where he is and this part of the world, you know. And I was like, yeah, sounds right, you know what I mean? And it was very real. Like, he portrayed some scenes where I was just like, damn, like he went into the brothel and stuff, when he was fighting and running away, like all those scenes, I was like, damn, they even got a scene, some sex going on. And I was like, damn. I was like, he wasn't playing. And all the blood and everything that was every, I was like, he wasn't playing. The cocaine use, he wasn't playing. He's like,
but
I'm showing you everything.
I also felt like similar to you, is that the first part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It wasn't a pacing issue for me. It was more so that I wasn't quite as invested in a story that was just about vengeance, mm-hmm, without having like the kind of context.
Right, right.
And like, it felt almost kind of like a climax, like when he first tried to kill the like police dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, mm-hmm, are we at the climax already? It's a decent movie, but it's not.
You're right. Because at first you're like, this kind of thing. I was like, this shouldn't be happening so soon.
Mm.
But I was like, oh, we just going for it? And so one of the people I went to the movies with was like, yeah, you could tell that was going to be like a bad attempt. Like, he wasn't going to succeed because of how quickly it was going. Yeah, his hand was shaking like heck. You're just like, okay, you just think you're just going to shoot him and be done. And like, do you have the resolve to do that? And so you see him too. Like, he's also a fighter. He wears a mask, but he gets paid to throw the fight.
Mm.
And it's kind of sad. Like, you just see the quality of like him, like, even though he has this big purpose to be Avenger, it's almost like he's not
except
there.
For I feel like at that point in the movie it wasn't a big purpose. It was his purpose, but it wasn't a big purpose. And I think that's why I was much more invested in the second part of the movie.
Yeah.
Because like, when the people of the, is it called a pogrom?
I think it's called Pogrom.
Pogrom?
I think.
Like, the people of the transgender community who, like, pulled him out of the water and, like, nursed him back. Like, one of the person who, like, led that community, he's like, you have to remember who you are.
Right.
And then when he was fighting, he was still fighting for his vengeance, but he was also fighting for these marginalized people.
Right.
And I felt like when he had more purpose, the movie also had more purpose. Mm-hmm. I was more invested at that point.
Yeah, I agree. And so, and that's kind of like, I keep bringing up Black Adam, but that's also the problem with Black Adam. There was other problems with Black Adam too, but that was the issue too,
because
he was like bitter and evil and bad, and you're just like, well, not evil, but bitter and like angry and like not a great person, and you're just like, why am I caring about him or any of you? And it just wasn't there. Yeah, and then they told a story much later in the film, and you're like, oh. But that first half was so bad, you're just like, I don't care. Because he's just destroying for no reason. But this one, you're still like, I was still following. I was like, where is this kid going? Like, what's going on? I was still invested, but I wanted to know what's up. You're right, Whitney. So it's almost like the journey, like, I just feel like maybe if they had put that part in earlier, it would have give us like, oh, we can relate to what his purpose is. And then we could have rooted for him while he was making the first attempt. And then we could have been like, oh, nah, he needs to like bulk up. He needs to remember who he was, remember who he is. Mm-hmm. He needs that little, you know, like almost like the Karate Kid montage. You know what I mean?
But, you know, it's kind of interesting because I don't know if... Because I felt like it was kind of part of the climax, well, or maybe the rising action with him, like,
we needed
fighting
to see him
for
failing
more than himself.
Yeah.
So because of that, I don't know if I wanted all of that in the beginning, but I do agree that something more needed to be in the beginning for me to care more. But I do think I like that was in the latter part, because it was like giving reason to him where he didn't have it as much. So now you're pulling more for him because he's not just for his own personal vendetta.
Right.
It's like, I'm also fighting for these people. And I like that part, and I like the escalation and character development.
Right.
But at the same time, I agree with you. Something
needed to be... Something of... What's the word I'm looking up? Something of importance and meaning needed to be pulled in a little earlier.
Right.
There we go. Something that we could hold on to. We're like, so that it could sustain us while we're waiting for all the other things to play out.
It didn't feel like just a Michael Bay movie.
Right. Because
it was fun. I mean, I felt like there wasn't a pacing issue, but it felt very Michael Bay-ish. Like, it's entertaining, but there's nothing really hitting me. Yeah.
That's the issue. Yeah, that's what it is. You're right. It's not pacing. It was an emotional draw that you needed to be there earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you just get the Black Adam effect where you're just like, this is just action for action's sake. And it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I don't have no motivation for why the character is this way. I have no background for why the character is this way.
Yeah, because you're right. It just felt... You can watch a good action movie and be like, that was a good action movie. But at the same time, you're like, unless it's just like the greatest action movie ever made, which I don't know if I can ever, I don't know if I could picture
there
the greatest
is no
action
great action
movie
film.
Ever made.
Action's not my favorite genre.
Yeah.
I like action sequences in a film, but action pure action films are not my favorite genre.
Yeah,
because lots of times they sacrifice the action, I mean the story for the action.
Character development, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, oh yeah, all the action and all the things are like really like interesting fight scenes and choreography and like big stunts mm-hmm. and blowing up. And I'm just like, yeah, but I care about these characters.
Yeah.
What are you guys trying to say, actually?
I don't know if I could ever imagine like a pure action movie getting anything like up to a 9 for me. Because it's like, for me, for something to be that good, there has to be something that's connecting.
That's why I liked Avengers films. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if they're action films to me, mm-hmm. but the Avengers, like, there's emotional draw and pull that's just there. So that all that action, the fighting, everything, you just like, you're pulled in.
You know what they're fighting for, who they're fighting for.
That's when I love it, when it's those things pairing together. That's mm-hmm. when the action film is awesome to me. Mm-hmm. But when you just have pure fighting and action and blood and gut, oh God.
I don't mind that stuff. I don't like a whole bunch of it.
To me, this had too much for me. But it was. It did have too much for me. But I thought it was well done.
I can watch stuff like that and be like, yeah, it was a good action movie. It was good sequences. Mm-hmm. But that's all I'm going to be able to really say about it.
You know me, I hate some Expendables. I will tell somebody, this movie's expendable. I can't believe there's like more than one Expendable. There's like 3 or 4 of them now. I was like, what the hell are people watching?
I think I enjoyed the first Expendables. Like, anyway, it wasn't like awesome, but I was like, I was entertained by this.
I was totally tuned off.
There was like nothing else to really be said except for I was entertained by it.
Which, you know,
like what else can you say if it's just going to be pure action with not really any character development or much plot?
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I remember the discussion about being entertained by so much violence mm-hmm. and whether that made you feel guilty or not, like that came up in the discussion me and my friends had after watching it, because it's just like, there was, this one's extremely violent and you're actually being entertained. Like, did that ever like occur to you? Like, does that ever occur to you when you're watching action films?
It doesn't, but I think for me the reason why is because it's not really the violence that I'm enjoying. It's really kind of the violence is the vehicle for like a comeuppance or something. So I'm like,
that's how you see it. But some people would watch it to enjoy the violence.
I don't, which is I guess why I don't feel guilty about it.
Okay.
Because I'm like, it's not like I like violence. Because sometimes I'd be watching movies and be like, oh, that was brutal. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, that was awesome because it was so brutal.
And to be honest, this one is super brutal. And this film had a lot of interesting. I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I say they get into the, like, this is not just your regular like slash and dash and stab. Like, this one had some like, we're biting, we're stabbing, we're scratching, we're using all these utensils. Yes, where he literally used his mouth to push a knife into the guy's neck. And I was like, damn, I had to close my eyes.
Savage. That was one of the best like scenes from a fight perspective.
Like, he bit somebody's nose off.
I think one of the reasons also that I can be entertained by it because they call it, well, not that necessarily, but they call certain things like that martial arts. Mm. So from some perspective, isn't art to how it's choreographed?
Yes, yes.
And I think it's me appreciating how the film was, how the scene was filmed.
Mm.
And it's not me enjoying like the violence, but I'm like, that was a really cool scene because that was super brutal. And it's meant to be brutal to just show you
how a real fight is. Because I was like, most real fights are not choreographed. They're just blows and shot and like, it's bad. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is about the choreographed fights that like, I don't know, maybe because they're like done with choreography that they make it look great. Or I don't want to say glorifying it, but they make, because I love me a good choreographed fight. I really do.
It is.
But when they add those guerrilla tactics and those like guttural, like those brutal tactics, it's like, ugh. Brutal tactics in there. I'm just like, but that's like how, yeah, you're going to bite somebody. Yeah, you're going to try and do, if you're trying to win and try not to die, you're going to resort to some of these, like, you know, really harsh and like unseemly, obscene things.
And I think context gives it part of it as well. Mm. Like, in the context of the movie, I understand why they did this. It's like, I mean, I'm not going to like be for this in real life, but I'm like, it's a movie. It's for entertainment.
Mm.
I'm not just, I know how that sounds. It's just that in order to get a point across, sometimes you have to go like super over the top. Because if you're like too light with it, it's like you're not pushing the point. It's not hitting in the same way.
Yeah. And you're right. It's almost like, I feel like with this film, the brutality of the violence kind of matches the brutality of the world they're in.
Oh, that's
and
good.
And what happened to them. And it's like the trauma of what, like once we finally saw it, mm-hmm. his mother was killed in a very brutal way. Yes. And he witnessed it and it was for no reason.
Right. And then it's even so when traumatic. She was, looked like she was dying anyway, the dude lit her on fire. Not even just lit
so
her on fire.
Traumatizing.
He covered her in what looked like gasoline or something and then lit her on fire. I'm like, what in the world?
Yeah.
This is a poor woman. This entire community is poor.
Mm-hmm. And they just set ablaze to all of them. They just raided them. And I'm like, what are you getting from this? Somebody's getting something, maybe
and
land
you
or whatever.
Because like after like what was his name, Baba Shakti. Mm-hmm. After Baba Shakti like called and he was like, "Yeah, go ahead." You saw almost like this slight smile on mm-hmm. the police commissioner. Well, I don't know if he was commissioner or what his position.
He was like a police chief or something.
The police chief's face, which told you that he got like a kick out of this. Yeah. He enjoyed it,
right?
So it's like,
and it was like he enjoyed like throwing his weight around mm-hmm. and like. Abusing his power mm-hmm. and oppressing people. That's what he enjoyed it. It was disgusting, actually.
And then the guy who like actually inadvertently got him into like the higher position of being like a waiter. Mm. You remember at one point in the movie, like I think it was
his
the police
sidekick.
Chief. Yeah, was like making fun of him because apparently he only had like maybe one leg. I didn't see that.
Yeah,
we didn't see the one leg, but he was like making fun of him. He's like, "Yeah, something happened, and you only have one leg."
The balls.
Does your like dick still work or something like that? And I'm like, dude, wow.
It was disturbing and destructive, and like it was so bad to just tear that man down in front of those people
right?
like that.
And
no,
he wasn't especially likable at the very beginning that character because he was like kind of sleazy seeming. Mm-hmm. But then like you just felt empathy.
He wasn't bad, and you felt bad for him
because it was just like, dude, you could see his face, like the way his face looked, and you couldn't do anything because this is like the police chief.
Yeah,
but you're like, you are trash, dude. Right. You are garbage.
The police chief was trash.
Yes,
he deserved everything he got. And honestly, I wish he had taken him out in the bathroom when he first did it, but it didn't work out. But again, it was part of the journey mm-hmm. for the main character. So another thing was I did like the boxing scenes. Mm-hmm. I really liked those scenes where he was fighting and he had the monkey mask on. Mm-hmm. I liked how he went back after mm-hmm. after he had been healed and he remembered who he was and he came back. And I liked because before he would always be like, "You're paid to lose mm-hmm. and you're the loser of this." Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna lie to you. I laughed my ass off at this in the theater. I was like the main one laughing because I found it extremely funny. But when he came back and he was fighting the King Cobra, mm-hmm. and you know how like everybody was like, "Yeah, we're ready for a fight." And the white dude, I guess he's South African or Australian, whatever he was, mm-hmm. he was like pumping everybody up mm-hmm. for a fight. And he was like, "Yeah." You thought he knew what was going to happen. And Monkey Man, our dude, just kicked him one time and knocked the guy out. And it was like fight over in 2 seconds.
One hit KO.
I was like, I just found the awkwardness of the scene. I was laughing. I was just laughing so hard.
Right? And he's like, get him. Somebody pull him off.
Oh, my God. That was just so funny.
But then that huge dude came.
And I was like, come on.
Right?
Damn, y'all had to come back with even more. He's like, "Oh, we're going to get you now. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring a giant up in this piece."
And
I was like,
and
damn.
Then he gave up the freaking, like, stick thing, baseball bat,
yeah,
with like
nails,
the
wiring. I was like, y'all are doing a lot for a
like
a
boxing
match. Y'all
trying to kill him.
Y'all trying to kill. He was. And I was like, nah, this is not fair. But I love that he was able to succeed. But it's almost like he had to keep proving himself. Like the video games, it's mm-hmm. like you go through the boss levels. Mm. So it was like he had to go back to the roots of what he was doing. He had to take them out mm-hmm. and keep going, like, you know, new level, new devil. And they always have to get higher and stronger mm-hmm. before you can get to the top. So I liked seeing that because I recognized that. Mm. And I was like, yeah, because in the revenge film, you got to get everybody that's associated. You got to get everybody, every level, every grab them. I also want to say I really liked how he showed there was like all the underbelly, the weird, the not the weird, but the darkness of the poor, the plight of the poor in India, and those who are stuck in sex trafficking, forced labor, and how the people in power are so evil, so mean, so destructive, so uncaring, so, you know, like the whole thing with the woman who was the sex worker. And I mean, I absolutely love that he needed to get that woman's finger, the one, the madam that he was working for. Queenie, yes. He needed to get her finger to go through the... But I love that that girl who we saw, and we just kind of saw her in her... in the world of being an escort and a sex worker for these people being used. I love that she gave the final blow to that woman. Because I was like, I don't know how women who do that, do that and don't care that... Like, they wouldn't like it if it was them being constantly abused sexually, constantly. But they didn't care because it's not happening to them. They just are worried about their money. But women that do that, like, you understand why men do it, because they're men and they're like, I don't care. Use the girls all up, which is also bad. But when women do it, it's, like, worse to me to see that you're pushing this. Even in the beginning, you know what kind of person she was. She was talking about, is she, like, you were talking about little kid. Like, she was looking through, like, little girls in the shot. And she was like, oh, is she worn in? And I was like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You're talking about a defiling of a girl, a raping of a girl. And she's like, we need her. I was like, this is disgusting. But I already knew what kind of woman she was. A woman that hates women. So for the sex worker, the beautiful woman, to get her at the end with the, oh, my God. I was, like, happy. I was like, take her out. Yeah, I don't care about her finger. Take her out. Because she just was so terrible. But I like that he showed, like, the depravity of everybody involved in these scenes. Everybody involved. And how it's so connected, especially with India. It's always burgeoning out into other spheres. Because at first you're just like, why is this political scene here? Why is this scene where they're going through the streets doing a religious festival? Why is this political part in here? Because it's all connected, especially in their culture. All that stuff is connected. It's all, like, branching out. And it's like you're seeing the, like, the roots, which is kind of like a symbolism for what they were talking about in the film.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
It's like the branches, it's out everywhere. It's spreading so much into everything.
And I think it's interesting, too, because you mentioned how... you saw it with some of our other friends and how the ending was, they didn't show it exactly, but I was like, I think he died at the end. That,
yes,
like, the
ending,
kid died.
I don't
from
like
his,
endings
like
this. You know, I hate
wounds.
Ending like this.
But you mentioned how Jane said that, like, no, he had to die, like, in the movie. And I think I understand why, because, like, he was a symbol. Like, this is what his purpose was to, well, it, initially it was just to get vengeance for his mother's death, his own personal vengeance. But then he also did what he could for the that community of the transsexuals, because he, like, won his match and gave the money to them, and then they helped him in the end. But it's like, I feel like the scene with the sex worker was significant, because, like, after she helped him, he, like, kind of goes, he looks at her, but you, there's none of that, you know, what you would usually see, kind of like a romantic connection,
right.
Like they're going to maybe get together. And I'm like, I think maybe that's why maybe Jane mentioned that, like, he has to die. Like, he didn't have anything else that he was living for. Because I'm like, that's where you would usually, in a movie like this, you where you would usually see something like that. Something start to, like, blossom. Like, you see the connection. And they had kind of a connection, but not that type of connection, like the romantic.
It's almost like they recognize good in each other, but that they were both in this horrible situation. He was forced to work there and witness all this nonsense and be under this, and he knew her, he sees her plight. And then I like the part where she tried to help him, because that the white dude that was her pimp or whatever, for the, her client for the night, was about to disrespect him so much, all because he gave him a glass and he's like, that's not a white wine glass. But, like,
I have never heard of red wine and white wine having different glasses.
I was like, who cares? You want this drink or not? Like, put it in the glass, sip it, be quiet.
At the same time, I was like, is that actually a thing? I don't think that's a thing.
It might be, so I just let it go. But I was like, he's about to be really disrespectful to this person and for no reason cause a scene. So even she like got on him more or got his attention so that she would like leave this guy alone. So it's like it's almost like they were had some code of, hey, we're in the slum, this hellhole thing together. So let's help each other thing. Like they just recognize that thing in each other. They're both trying to survive. They're both doing things they hate. They both, you know, so, and they're both trapped almost. It's like he was stuck on this path. He was put on this path. He didn't start off this way. And none, these girls don't either. They never start off in this way. They usually are always snatched, taken, or sold by family or friends or random people in the community into those lifestyles. So I see what you're saying, but it was like, I like that they didn't go there to the romance part because it would be too far-fetched. It would be too, he was like, no, let's keep this in the realm of like, yeah, realistically, he could die from all this. And he's taking injury. He's not like some superhero. He's just good and adept and got himself, and he just decided to push through and fight. He don't got time for romance. This is not the time for all that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
I think it
did
make it better for not for them not to go there.
Yeah, you just recognize, oh, maybe in another time or another life.
Exactly.
They might have been something. But it was like, while they were passing in the hellhole together, they just recognized something in each other, and they were like,
and this is
I'm going to help you.
And like, they're... Actually, there's another thing. Like, this was like the Baba Shakti dude was a well-known dude. The police chief is the police chief. There is no way that he's
These
getting
are supposed
out.
To be upstanding. One was a religious figure, and one was a police authority, a protector, and a spiritual guide.
Yeah,
but they were the most corrupt people in the movie.
Right, but he killed both of them as well as a number of other people. I can see there's like no way that he's probably gonna live.
So I get if that's what Jane meant then, because I wondered what she meant by that too. I wanted her
I don't
to get into
know
it.
If that is or if she was talking about it from like a theme standpoint, whereas like story wise, he can't live for this to have the same impact.
Right.
But I do feel like him...
I don't know if he had to die. And I'm like, the film doesn't express that at all. So we don't know if he died or not.
We don't.
You think
but
he
I
died.
But I think it's better. I interpret it when he kind of swayed to the side as if he was like collapsing. I interpreted that as like he succumbed to his wounds and he died. But and if he didn't, I feel like that's a better ending if he did die after all that. For whatever reason. I don't know.
Yeah. I would have liked the hopeful ending for... I mean, it's like you said, it just feel like he fulfilled this purpose that he had. But it was like, just when he realized his power in himself, it's like then he died. And that's why I don't like that.
He achieved his goal. I feel like...
Yeah, because like, what if he just became something else? Like
in the, like, but there's also that thing, I think it's in the Bible, like, if you live by the sword, you die
by
the
sword.
You're
right.
So because he had
funny
made
enough
himself,
you say that, and this is like a Hindu.
But because he had made himself into this, that was his purpose. Like once his purpose was fulfilled, like that was kind of his end.
Right. I mean, it would make sense. It would probably be some poetic thing. One of the things I wanted to bring up too was that there was this prayer that him and his mom recited constantly, and it was playing throughout the film all the time. And I wanted to know, like, I feel like this was like some kind of mantra or something like he rehearsed constantly. And I feel like it was something that centered him or brought him back to himself. But I was like, I'm not going to lie to you. I was kind of unsatisfied with the end, not only because I wanted to know if he died for real, but I was like, it was like the last thing we were hearing and seeing, you know, as the film was ending. And I was just like, oh, this is significant. And I wasn't sure if I fully... got the full meaning. You know what I mean? Because even me and Alan were talking about it. We were like, okay, this was a good film. Like, this was interesting. But I was like, what was the purpose of what I was watching? What was the meaning of what I'm watching? I don't know if I had enough elements to say that I figured it out. Not that it had to be figured out, but it would be satisfying to me to have figured the whole piece out. But I felt like there was something I was missing there. But, that's just a critique for me. It's not like a big thing, but I wish I had known more about what that, him constantly reciting that. Like, it was just always throughout the film, this prayer. It was kept coming back. It was repeated that something that him and his mom rehearsed. And you heard the little kid voice when he was a little kid. You heard that voice, not his voice saying it. So,
I don't know. It seems like I guess a prayer.
It is a prayer. So I just wanted to understand the significance of it, because things that are repeated, you have to pay attention to. And it was the last thing that was uttered, and it wasn't uttered by him, but it was the last thing in the film.
I think it was because, like, because, you know, that big mural with Hanuman on the background.
Right.
I think it was basically, like, this is where he drew his strength. Like, that's okay. who his god
see,
was. And
yeah,
that's where
see,
he
that
drew
helps.
The strength for this.
That helps me out
as
a
well
bit.
As from kind of leveling up from helping someone other, like, than just fulfilling
Maybe
his own
like
goal.
The source of his power.
Yeah.
Or inner power, inner strength.
Mm-hmm.
To get. Maybe it was just, like, overall, he's trying to say, this is where I draw my strength from.
Right. I
Since
think
he's
so.
A Hindu and he's like, he said this really was inspired by the story of Hanuman. That's why he's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
I
that's what
so.
It was.
I
like
that's...
that, Whitney. I can take that.
Yeah.
What were some other things, notable things? I liked how they showed how the children, this really, cause you know, I love children. so it kind of bugs me, but it's also very indicative of society there mm-hmm. and how lots of times you see in those networks and things, children are always being used for these kind of CD problem things. Like, it's really bad. Like, he talked about it in Slumdog Millionaire, but children are constantly being used for bad things or being abused or taken advantage of and forced labor, forced this, forced that. I was just like, if you notice his little world of like network and how to get things around, it was always the children that were the ones handling. I don't know if it's because they're small and people don't pay attention to them, but I just was like, oh, man, it made me feel bad.
It reminded you know me what I mean? Of like the I'm blanking on his name from Game of Thrones, but he had his network of like the
little
kids.
Finger.
No, it wasn't Littlefinger. It was the bald guy.
Oh, oh God, you're right.
Something with a V, I think. I don't know why, because I really liked his character.
Right.
But his whole network of spies were like the children.
Children, right, right. And I mean, I like that he did that. Like, I like that he brought that out. Mm-hmm. I like that he showed that too.
Is it Varys?
Varys, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yes, from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. But you're right, and it's like one. You, yeah, they're small, they're unnoticeable. People are not detected. They're faster.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but then I also saw. I was like, man, the children are never just children.
Mm-hmm.
They're constantly being used. They're not learning. Mm-hmm. They're not doing. They're not being able to be fed into, and then they become the adults that. In a society that are like perpetuating the same thing sometimes because they're not allowed to just be children, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That part was poignant to me because I love that sequence and where how he got the wallet.
Mm-hmm.
But you just saw like a network of kids just passing it around doing this. I mean, the first person was a man.
Yeah,
but
that was clever. I thought that was pretty clever.
I thought it was a very cool sequence. I'm not I really like the sequence, really cool but I was sequence. Just like, it was just indicative of like, hey, he's telling the truth. But I just saw it and I was like, oh, man. The children just can't be children, you know? And it starts off like his story too. He couldn't just be a child after the trauma that he endured. And I mean, his hands were burnt and messed up because of
trying to save his mother after the police chief lit her on fire.
Right. And I mean, I really like the, that's when he went to when he was saved by the people and they like, I really like that. I really like when they started that sequence. Cause at first I was like, what is this? Where are we going now? But then I like the slowdown, the pause. They're like, let's really get at the heart of it. Let's unveil it. I really like that choice of him being in that community. Him being there. Even the drumming.
Oh yeah, I love that.
The drumming and matching the boxing. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that.
That was awesome.
So
I really loved
much.
That.
It was
I
so
just
cool.
Thought of something when they were doing like the flashbacks, and you know they're talking about roots and stuff, and you know how the
how
leader of that community, was talking about remember who you are.
Mm.
There was a scene when his mother was like opened his hand up, cause, and they were talking about roots. She's like, "These are your roots," and I thought it was now that I'm thinking about it, significant that when he tried to save his mother, he burned his hand, so he probably didn't have those lines anymore.
Right.
So his roots. Were gone, so he had to remember who he was because...
Go ahead with the analysis. Yeah, it's like he forgot who he was, and then it was like he needed to remember.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to remember, and he was like, all the things that happened to him took him to the journey to remember and took him to an ultimate goal to get payback for what he did to his mom.
Mm-hmm.
For like, you know, and it's so disheartening to see like a child bearing that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And usually most people are not, in his situation, do not have the power, the resources in order to exact that revenge later.
Mm.
But I like that it was almost like he was giving hope to people that have experienced this kind of thing, you know, because it happens all the time. It's still happening. were these kind of problems, mm-hmm. you know? And it's almost like he was giving hope to those kind of people to keep fighting, to keep... I feel like he was also delivering some kind of message to his people mm-hmm. because you saw how they were fighting some injustice from what the police were doing to mm-hmm. them or something. And it's almost like they're fighting this thing, they're fighting the government, they're fighting, like, abuse, mm-hmm. but then it's like, oh, because they have the power, they overtake them again, so they're subdued or they're overtaken, mm-hmm. and then this crap is still the same way, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was almost like, when there is the bad, something good has to rise up to mm-hmm. take, you know, to get justice.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these people never get justice for what happens mm-hmm. to them. So I love a good justice story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really do. So I appreciated that. I feel like a lot went into this story for him. Mm-hmm. I remember when I saw, before I even saw anything for the film, I saw a clip of him reacting to people watching his film for the mm-hmm. first time. And he was just crying and bawling. And I just was like, man. And then I found out the story about mm-hmm. how he went through all that in making the film. Mm-hmm. I was like, dang, homie. I can see why he cried.
Yeah.
This is a long time in the making. This is something very personal. Mm-hmm. Something that he wanted to do. And it's like so much of himself was in the film. Mm-hmm. So many parts of himself, his likes, his like inspirations, his culture, his identity, his real God, you know, mm-hmm. everything was in it for him and a lot of stakes, mm-hmm. a lot of pressure, once it's well received, it's like such a huge release mm-hmm. and relief. Like, even though you don't need approval from everyone, but mm-hmm. to have it is what we seek. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think he got some validation in that. And after watching it, I was like, man, I applaud his attempt at what he was doing. You know what I mean?
I also want to comment on that, what you just said, because it made me think about making a great film or series.
Right.
I feel like the maker has to put themselves into it, or at least their cultural, their background into it, because... it got better once the like his cultural things started getting added into there. Because at first it was just an action movie. It was just a revenge movie. And there's so many of those. But once his, the things that make him, he put him parts of himself in there. Or not himself, but his culture in there. Mm-hmm. That's when it became awesome. And it makes me also think about like
I would actually go back and say himself. Like Dev Patel is in the film. You know what I mean?
But it makes me think of, like, what you mentioned earlier, Everything Everywhere All at Once, the Daniels, because, like, the elements, like, the, you know, the Asian
stories. Yeah.
That's what makes it awesome. Like, when they made, like, Black Panther, having, like, cultural things, that's what makes things great. Don't just try to make what everyone else is making, because that just makes kind of a cookie cutter, kind of stale movie.
Right. And I've never seen a revenge film done in such a way as this. So I was like, I watch a lot of Bollywood. So that's why I was like, oh, these things, I know about this stuff. I've seen this. India tries, they do these kind of revenge films all the time in India. But they're never this so on the nose with exposing how the place really is. You see the corruption, but it's like a light version. You know what I mean? They get into it. There's a fight, but it's very stylized. It's very crafty. There's a bunch of song numbers. So, and then ultimately, there's always a happy ending because you want the hero to win. That's how it is. But at this point in the film, you wasn't sure. You weren't sure. And then honestly, if he did die at the end, you're just like, that's not a Bollywood ending at all. So I understand what you're trying to say, and I understand what he was trying to do as well. And I like that he did a film like this in his way for his culture that I really like you said, it's just, it makes more sense. It makes something more interesting. So that it puts it aside from like, oh, this is not like other revenge films.
Yeah.
Just like how they did Polite Society.
Oh yeah.
That was unique to me too. Cause I was like a fight inspired film, but it was so stylized and done in a way. I was like, I've never seen something like this with Indian culture mixing in the fighting and the, it's really cool.
Pakistani, I think. Right.
But, you're right. It was Pakistani culture. Yes. Yeah, sorry. That one was Pakistani. This one is Indian. But yeah,
but that kudos was, it to them. Made it like, but it just proves like you mentioning Polite Society, it just proves that adding that element elevates it.
Yes.
Because everybody's already seen the other stuff.
Right.
So why do they care about your thing unless you put something interesting, different
in it.
Cultural, something that's you in there.
And I hate to say this, and this is not to knock white culture or anything, but it's because the lens of Hollywood and movies and what everyone sees is so white driven, white everything Western. It's like now it's like everyone's like, oh yeah, we're tired of this. Like, let's see other people. Let's see. And it's like, yeah, there's other things out there. There's other people groups doing stuff. Like, let's see that. So it just kind of goes to show that, yeah, it's not going to be a great representation of everyone if everyone's not represented. And I like that. Hey, let's make space. There's space for the John Wick and there's space for the Indian John Wick. Okay. It's going to be different. One's going to be spicy and one's going to be whatever that other John Wick was. I got to watch John Wick.
John Wick's actually a very good season.
I heard John Wick was very good.
But if they just tried it, see, that's the thing. If it was just the Indian John Wick, it probably would have been like, oh, it's the Indian John Wick. But because it's got the other
Other elements in there. That make it's not quite John Wick.
Yeah.
It's like Styles, but it's not. It's totally, it's whatever his name was. Kid, Bobby, I don't know. It's his story, and it's done that way, so it's totally different. Yeah, and it's actually more meaningful. Like, that's why I decided to watch it. I was like, I would watch this more than I would watch John Wick, because I'm like, that's just regular action, and, you know, that's not that doesn't pull me as much.
Yeah, but I liked watching this. Overarching plot or character development.
The cultural aspect made me want to watch this. Yeah. Because I usually don't, and I do like fighting films, but this one, I'm not going to lie to you, tad too much gore for me to watch it again. But I do say it's a good watch.
I would say it was a lot of blood. I wouldn't say so much gore.
Isn't that blood and gore? Like, all the blood just coming out. It was just blood, blood, blood.
Gore usually means stuff like other stuff besides blood. Like, you got some, like,
I thought gore meant the blood. Oh, guts and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, people were getting their stuff cut. The ear cut. Yeah, I mean, her nose got bit off. Her finger got cut off.
That's, like, mutilation, but I wouldn't say
that's
gore.
That's gory to me. I'm sorry. That's gory to me. You have a level of, like, all of it's bad to me. I'm like, this is obscene, but I like my fight scenes, but I don't like them that bloody. I was like, the amount of red, remember I said before we recorded, the amount of red dye number two and corn syrup that was used on this was a lot. Anyway, are we ready for a review now?
I think we are.
All right. So I'm going to give this film, honestly, all right, I'm going to give this film, I'm going to give it 7 glasses. Okay. 7 glasses. It's a solid film. Especially if you're interested in this kind of thing, it's pretty good. I think it deserves a watch.
All right.
Yeah, it's a good watch, especially if you like action and you love bloodiness and everything. It's very good, different watch from bloody action films you've seen because of that cultural point. And it's artistic. I give it more points because of the artistic elements and what he was trying to do there. And I like even that part with the chest opening and stuff. I was just like, what's happening here? This is weird. But like you said, I just felt like it could have used some more cultural context that for audience that don't know stuff about Hanuman and all that kind of stuff. And I could have liked the beginning half having more of his personal story. So it doesn't get any beyond 7 to me, but I really liked what he did. So
I'm going to give it 8 glasses and a contact lens, so 8.25. And that's because I didn't have a problem with the amount of blood
in there.
I know it's not for Bola. I don't have a problem with that. And I thought he did like a really great job.
This was a great
action movie, and it was made better for not being purely an action movie. Because if it was just an action movie, it probably wouldn't have gone beyond an 8 or 7.75 for
me. It's like all the other cultural points, political, social, emotional, the journey, all elevated. That stuff added to it. You're right.
So that ends up with a very messy number, 7.625. We don't have any glasses or monocles that are really going to do that. But basically, 7 glasses, a monocle, half a contact.
Okay, we're just going to say 7.5. We're going to round up. Let's just always round up.
Actually, that's 7. That's rounding down.
Just 7 glasses. That's what we're rounding it to?
No, because then that cuts that takes away.
Round to the whole
7.75 then. Let's round
7.75?
Yeah, let's round it that way.
So a contact, a monocle.
And seven glasses.
Hey! All right. So that is our review. We're starting off April strong.
Yeah.
That is our review of Monkey Man. You guys go see it, check it out, and let us know what you think. You know, we want to hear what you have to say, too. Like, what did you think about the film? Maybe you have some cultural points to tell us that we don't know.
We'd be interested.
We'd love to discuss and learn more things, y'all. So hit us up, okay? All right. And as always, y'all just what?
Blurred out.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Please subscribe to our show on whatever podcast listening app you use and share the show with other blurred and non-blurred family and friends. And if you like this episode, please subscribe to our email newsletter at blurredtalkbw.ck.page and also rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts.
Intro and outro music is Twilight by Caption. You can find them on SoundCloud, username Caption spelled C-A-P-S-H-U-N. Show notes by Bola Hansen, audio engineering by Whitney Booker.
And don't forget to get social, you guys. You can email us at blurredtalkbw@gmail.com. And our social media handles on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok is at blurredtalkbw. And our YouTube channel is youtube.com/@blurredtalkbw. And we've got our individual things going on too. You can find the Triple F Queen on Instagram at Triple F Queen B as in boy. And my YouTube channel is youtube.com/@TripleFQueenB.
And you can find me, Whitney, at Luminavi Studios, my company. And the email address is wit@luminavi.com, spelled W-H-I-T at L-U-M-E-N-A-V-I.com. And you can also find me on Twitter at Luminavi Studios.